Blog Talk Radio.
Any longer. Yes, I'm calling for impeachment because he's trying to create his second civil war. And it's better to impeach him than to have to enjoy a second civil war. Enjoy is not the word. Somebody gave me a book, a souvenir book on the Civil War. And I was surprised to learn some facts, and I thought I'd share them with you tonight. Civil War firsts. The first man killed in the Civil War was Union Private Daniel Howe. After the surrender of Fort Sumter, when during the evacuation, a cannon discharged prematurely during the salute. The Civil War was the first war to use modern technologies, telegraphy, telescopic sights for rifles, repeating rifles, periscope for trench warfare, naval torpedoes, flamethrowers. revolving gun turrets and steel ships. This one you'll enjoy. The U.S. federal income tax was initiated during the Civil War, 1862, to help finance the Union Army. Abraham Lincoln was the first president to be assassinated. The first Medal of Honor awards were given during the Civil War. The first battle photography took place during the war. The Red Rover was the U.S. Navy's first hospital ship. During the Civil War, a tax was levied on tobacco products. American conscription, the draft, was needed to fill the demand for men to fight the war. The first Indian tribe to pledge its loyalty to the Confederate States of America was the Choctaws. The Secret Service had its beginning in 1862 when the CSA Signal Corps was the South's first organized Secret Service Bureau. The first organized medical and nursing corps was set up during the Civil War. Did you know the population of the United States in 1860? Guess how big the population was. 31,443,000, and that included slaves, but not American Indians. You know how many states are on the stars and the bars? Seven. Seven states announced their secession from the Union at the time Lincoln was inaugurated. South Carolina, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Texas. 38% of the population of the Confederacy were slaves. The largest city in the Confederacy in 1860 was New Orleans. Guess how much the population was? 168,000. There were 33 states in the Union in 1860. How much you think a soldier's pay was in 1861 per month? $13. President Lincoln's annual salary was $25,000. The 26th North Carolina military unit suffered the most casualties, 708 out of 880 at Gettysburg alone. Almost 200,000 blacks eventually served in the Union Army and Navy. After Fort Sumter fell to the Confederacy, President Lincoln called for 75,000 volunteers. 15,000 Confederates were involved in Pickett's charge in the Battle of Gettysburg. After Virginia, Tennessee was the site of the most battles. The Union captured 215,000 prisoners, while the Confederacy captured 205,000. In 1862, boy, you'd like these income tax rates. The income tax was three percent for incomes of 600 to 10 grand, and 5% for anybody over 10 grand. The first man in the U.S. military to hold the rank of General of the Army was U.S. Grant. Hannibal Hamlin, the Vice President of the U.S., was the highest-ranking civilian to volunteer for military service during the Civil War. The first Confederate to be promoted to general was P.T. G. Beauregard. After the war, the first state to be readmitted to the Union was Tennessee on July the 24th. Soldiers would often pin handkerchiefs with their names and addresses to their shirts so they could be identified if killed. They didn't have dog tags. General McClellan finished second in his class at West Point in 1846. 17th in that same class was Thomas Stonewall Jackson. Two West Point classmates on the opposite sides in the Battle of Cumberland Gap, Kirby Smith for the Confederates and George Morgan for the USA. There were three attendees at the last reunion of Confederate veterans of the Civil War. It took place in 1951. Wilmer McLean moved from the banks of Bull Run to get away from the war. He moved to Appomattox, Virginia, and in his living room was the meeting place for Lee surrendered to Grant on April 9, 1865. Many Union soldiers who stole items as souvenirs from the surrender vandalized McLean's house. General Douglas MacArthur's father enlisted in the Union Army and won the Medal of Honor, and Douglas won it years later. Robert E. Lee wore size 4.5 shoes. There were 7 presidents who served in the Civil War, best known as Ulysses S. Grant, Rutherford B. Hayes, James A. Garfield, Chester A. Arthur, Benjamin Harrison, Andrew Johnson, and William McKinley. Grover Cleveland paid a substitute to take his place in the Army when he was drafted. Walter Williams, the last veteran of the Civil War, died on December the 19th, 1959, at the age of 117. Mary Todd Lincoln had 3 brothers who died fighting for the Confederacy. When Johnny Comes Marching Home was the most popular song for the South, and the Battle Hymn of the Republic was the most popular song for the North. It was the second runner-up for the national anthem, I believe. Imagine if that was the national anthem. Mine eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. Many times there were 2 names for the same battle. In other words, the southern name for Manassas was Bull Run. Winfield Scott was a major general. He emerged as a brigadier general. General William L. Jackson had a nickname, Mudwall. So they had Mudwall and Stonewall. Mary and Molly Bell served 2 years with Jubal Early under the names Tom Parker and Bob Martin before being discovered as women in 1864. Ellen Goodrich fought beside her husband for 3 years. At the age of 10, John Clem, a drummer boy, enlisted in the Army at the age of 10. He advanced to become a major general when he retired from the Army in 1916. 20 generals, 12 Union, 8 Confederate were all named Smith. A musket barrel could hold almost a pint of whiskey. 12,000 Union troops surrendered to Stonewall Jackson at Harper's Ferry in September 1862. It was the largest surrender until 1942 when 40,000 surrendered to the Japanese at Bataan. Major General Daniel Sickles' leg was amputated at Gettysburg and put on exhibit at the Army Medical Museum. And he visited the museum during his lifetime, and his leg is still there. Disease killed twice as many men during the war than did battle wounds. Approximately 130,000 freed slaves became Union soldiers during the war. This one's going to crack you up. The biggest selling book dealing with the Civil War was Margaret Mitchell's novel, Gone with the Wind. Now, what was the population of the country at the time? 31 million. Guess how many books she sold? 30 million. The first U.S. Naval Hospital ship, the Red Rover, was used on the inland waters during the Vicksburg Campaign. Senator John Crittenden of Kentucky had 2 sons who became major generals during the war, one for the North and one for the South. We all know that Stonewall Jackson was killed, shot by his own men who thought he was the enemy. He died at the Battle of Chancellorsville. After the war, Henry Wirz, commander of the notorious Andersonville prison, was hanged in Washington for war crimes. He said he was only following orders. Mary Owens enlisted with her fiancé and fought until he was killed and she was wounded. Winchester, Virginia changed hands during the war 76 times. at the Battle of Antietam marked the single deadliest day during the American Civil War. The Battle of Gettysburg was the deadliest entire battle over a three-day period, 50,000 casualties during the course of the battle. At Cold Harbor, Virginia, 7,000 Americans fell in 20 minutes. More than 3 million men fought in the war. George Pickett's doomed infantry charge at Gettysburg was the first time he took his division into combat. Hiram Revels of Mississippi became the first black man ever elected to the U.S. Senate. He filled the seat that was last held by Jefferson Davis. 46% of the Confederate States of America and 54% of the U.S. troops engaged at Shiloh became casualties during the battle. Prisoner exchange agreement called for 60 privates for one general. Out of every 100 Union draftees, 20 actually served. Horses were essential to the war. At the start of the war, the North held 4,400,000 and the South 1,700,000. 12,000 men made up a full division. Estimated number of prisoners of war who died in captivity, 23,000 for the Union and 26,000 for the Confederacy. There were 10,455 military engagements during the Civil War. 47 of 583, which is 8%, of Union general officers died during the war. 77 of 425, 18%, Confederate general officers died during the war. There were approximately 10,000 Jewish soldiers, 2,000 in the Confederacy and 8,000 in the Union Army. Five Union and five Confederate generals died in the Battle of Gettysburg. During the course of the conflict, 2,778,000 men were enlisted in all branches of the forces. It is unknown how many men were enlisted in the Confederate States of America. Figures range from as many as 1,400,000 to as few as 600,000. Now, here's a number that you're going to be startled by. Less than 10% of Southern white men owned slaves. Less than 10% of Southern white men owned slaves. At the start of the war, there were 22 million people in the North, 9 million in the South. 3.5 million of these were slaves. Northern factories produced 5,000 rifles per day, compared to 300 a day in the Southern factories. 67% of Civil War generals wore beards. In the North, we had 110,000 manufacturing plants, and the South only had 18,000. The casualties of the six bloodiest battles of the Civil War, Gettysburg, 51,000, Chickamauga, 28,000, 7 Days, 27,000, Antietam, 23,000, the Wilderness, 22,000, Chancellorsville, 21,000. Class rank at West Point Academy. Robert E. Lee was second in his class of 46,000. G.T. Beauregard was second in his class of 45, 1838. William T. Sherman was sixth in his class of 42,000. Of 42, 1840. Abner Doubleday. Abner Doubleday, isn't that the guy that invented baseball? He was 24th in his class of 56 in 1842. Yeah, so Robert E. Lee was second in his class of 46. And they haven't got the right year there. U.S. Grant was 21st of his class of 39 in 1843. George McClellan was second in his class of 59, and Stonewall Jackson They all went to West Point, 17th of 59 and 1846. So there's a little Civil War trivia for yourself. You now know more than everybody that went to college and practiced their communism. Let's give you a tune, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the Gadsden flag. So what can we do for a tune? We'll do Tito Puente. You like Tito Puente? Press 1 for English, press 2 for Tito Puente. What happened? I don't know what happened. We're back. We don't want to weigh you down. We don't want to weigh you down with a Latin sound. You've heard about Obama's army that's going to be bigger than the U.S. military. Well, they just wrote the marching song for Obama's army, and you'll be the first ones to hear it. Would you like to hear it? Like that? Stand at attention.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America, a Party book. We're going to take you back into the French and Indian War, and we're going to give you a little lesson in American history. So hang in there. Okay, so here we go. We're going to tell you about the history of the Gadsden flag. Now, you don't know what the Gadsden flag is, but I'll give you a little history on the Gadsden flag. And this is compliments of the Joseph Buckland Society, who provided this information. The Gadsden flag is a flag of yellow with a rattlesnake in the center, and underneath the rattlesnake is "Don't Tread on Me." It was the first naval jack, like, you know, the Union Jack of the British. That's the flag that they fly on their ships. This Gadsden flag was our first naval flag. In 1754, during the French and Indian War, Ben Franklin published his now famous woodcut of a snake cut into 8 sections. It represented the English colonies then existing, with New England joined together as the head and South Carolina as the tail, following their order along the coast. Under the snake was the message, "Join or die." That was the first political cartoon published in an American newspaper. As the American Revolution grew closer, the snake began to see more use as a symbol of the colonies. In 1774, Paul Revere added it to the title of his paper, The Massachusetts Spy, as a snake joined to fight a British dragon. In December 1775, Ben Franklin published an essay in the Pennsylvania Journal under the pseudonym American Guesser. That was his pen name, American Guesser. In which he suggested that the rattlesnake was a good symbol for the American spirit. And this is what he said: "I recollected that her eye excelled in brightness that of any other animal, and that she has no eyelids. She may therefore be esteemed an emblem of vigilance. She never begins an attack, nor when once engaged, ever surrenders. She is therefore an emblem of magnanimity and a true courage. As if anxious to prevent all pretensions of quarreling with her, the weapons with which nature has furnished her, she conceals in the roof of her mouth, so that to those who are acquainted with her, she appears to be most a defenseless animal, and even when those weapons are shown and extended for her defense, they appear weak and contemptible, but their wounds, however small, are decisive and fatal. Conscious of this, she never wounds until she has generously given notice even to her enemy and cautioned him against the danger of treading on her." Was I wrong, sir, in thinking this is a strong picture of the temper and conduct of America? In the autumn of 1775, the United States Navy was established to intercept incoming British ships carrying war supplies to the British troops in the colonies. To aid in this, the Second Continental Congress authorized a mustering of 5 companies of Marines to accompany the Navy on their first mission. The first Marines then enlisted were from Philadelphia. This first United States Marine unit carried drums painted yellow, depicting a coiled rattlesnake with 13 rattles, and the "Don't Tread on Me" slogan. At the Congress, Continental Army, you ready for this? A Colonel Christopher Gadsden was representing his home state of South Carolina. He was one of 3 members of the Marine Committee who were outfitting their first naval mission. Before the departure of the first naval mission, the newly appointed Commander-in-Chief of the Navy, Gadsden and Congress chose a Rhode Island man, Essex Hopkins, as the Commander-in-Chief of the Navy. Colonel Gadsden felt it was especially important for the new Commander-in-Chief of the Navy to have a distinctive personal standard. Therefore, Gadsden designed and produced and personally presented to Hopkins a flag to be used as the personal standard of the new Commander-in-Chief of the Navy. Because Gadsden also presented a copy of this flag to his home state legislature, a description of the flag is recorded in South Carolina legislative journals. That description is the reason the flag illustrated at the start of this webpage. Gadsden flag, the first naval jack, don't tread on me, is generally accepted to be used as a personal standard of the commander of the United States and Navy. And then they have a little script. Colonel Gadsden presented to the Congress an elegant standard such as to be used by the commander-in-chief of the American Navy, being a yellow field with a lively representation of a rattlesnake in the middle in the attitude of going to strike. And these words underneath, don't tread on me. It is not recorded whether Gadsden took his inspiration for his yellow flag from the Marines' drums or a similar yellow don't tread on me flag common in the three southernmost colonies. Hopkins apparently used the flag presented to him as his personal standard, but he designed a different flag for use as the fleet's battle flag. It used the symbol of the snake and the slogan, which he placed on the Sons of Liberty flag. The battle flag was used both as an ensign, a flag flown on a ship's mast, and as a jack, a flag flown on the ship's bow, or bowsprit. Hopkins ordered his ship commanders that when Hopkins raised the battle flag, all ships were to immediately attack the enemy according to a previous arranged battle formation plan. This red and white striped flag shown above, and it's all stars and it's stripes without stars, and it has the don't tread on me, a rattlesnake on it. This above shown, the first Navy Jack, is that found in two primary sources. The first one is Hobson's first set of fleet signals using flags between the ships. In the fall of 1775, as the first ships of the Continental Navy readied in the Delaware River, Commodore Essex Hopkins instructed that the signal for attack in battle would be the flying striped jack and ensign at their proper places. The second source is the color plate in Admiral Preble's book showing essentially the same don't tread on me flag used as a Navy ensign. Okay, and that was up until 1880. So why am I telling you all of this? Naval regulations have ordered the first Navy Jack to be used instead of the Union Jack on special occasions. Okay. On May the 22nd, 2002, the Secretary of Navy ordered all ships to display the first Navy Jack during the War on Terrorism. And if you want, we can read the order. You want to read the order? So that they flew it in 2002. From Secretary of the Navy, all ships and stations except Marine Corps units not having Navy personnel attached. Display the first Navy Jack during the global war on terrorism. Now, terrorism, what does that mean? We're at war with terrorists? Who are terrorists? Are we engaging in war in South America on terrorists? No, no. Terrorist means Muslim, deeply religious Muslims. That's what terrorist means. The highest order in the Muslim religion is to die as a jihadi and go straight to paradise with a 72 chicks. Yeah, that's all you get are chicks. No eggs. Unbelievable, man. the war on terrorism. We're fighting a war on terrorism, yes, and deeply religious Muslims are killing you. And what are they fighting a war on terrorism too? Purpose, to provide for the display of the first Navy Jack on board all U.S. Navy ships during the global war on terrorism. It's a global war and it's on terrorism. Discussion, as the first ships of the Continental Navy readied in the Delaware River during the fall of 1775, Commodore Hopkins issued a set of fleet signals, including this thing. It's wonderful. Action. The first Navy Jack will be displayed on board all U.S. Navy ships in lieu of the Union Jack. That's from the original commands. Okay, very nice. They raised the flag for the war on terrorism. How about tax terrorism in the United States? What image flag do we fly for that? Don't tax on me? Yeah. We're in trouble, folks. We're in big trouble. Bartender, a champagne, and a giraffe of wine. The war on terrorism. That makes me want to throw up, man. That's how ineffective we are. Welcome to Squabble City. We, the United Freaks of America. The land of the freaks and the home of the broke. Yeah. We can't even go to the moon anymore. We can't go to space. The Russians won't let us. Yeah, and the president won't draw a red line. Won't draw a red line in his coloring book. No, we're in trouble. And Eric Holder says we're all a bunch of racists. But he's not. Yeah, the war on terrorism. Oh, we're going to fight that one. The president's going to draw a red line in Syria. And Iran's going to occupy Syria and kill all the Syrians. And we drew a red line and they walked right over it. And the Russians are arming Iran. And the French Navy is now building aircraft carriers for the Russians. That's our coalition of the willing. That's our coalition. Yeah, that's not fair. Are we going to fight back? Oh, we can't. No, no. We're fighting racism. We're fighting bad bridges. Yeah, we got bad bridges, and we're gonna fight that, and we're gonna fight the discrimination, and we're gonna fight equal pay for women, and we're gonna raise the minimum wage throughout the world, only on burger joints. Throughout the world, yes, and everybody's gonna wear red.
And how we ever got Republicans to be called the red states. How stupid are we? How stupid are we that we allow people to label the living hell out of us? You're in the red states. No, I'm a Republican. No, no. You're a communist. No, we're in the blue states. We're the blue guys. And now Reince Priebus announces today that Hillary Clinton will probably not run. Reince Priebus. I went to the doctor. I said, I got this rash in a bad place. He says, you got Reince Priebus. Give me a break. A bartender, we're still waiting for the champagne and a giraffe of wine. So who flies the Gadsden flag today? The flag that was raised to defend us against Muslim terrorism. Can't say the word Muslim. It's a religion. It's a religion of peace. Piece of you, a piece of him, a piece of this guy. Yeah. Oh, there's, you know, it's only a handful that have hijacked. A handful? Yeah. Oh, it's only a handful. Boy, they're doing a lot of damage for a handful. Well, listen, you can't use the word Muslim. You could say radical Muslim. Do you know there's no word in Arabic like radical? There is none. How do you say radical in Arabic? You say Muslim. Yeah. Unbelievable. We are a brainwashed nation. They're brainwashing our children. They're brainwashing four-year-olds. The new kick is a white privilege. If you're white, then you're privileged. And who's complaining about it the most?
liberal whites. Well, what's a liberal? A liberal is a communist. Well, these are progressive whites. Oh, progressive is a communist. Yes. Liberal is a nice word. Socialist is also a nice word. It's very social, but that's also communist. So until you realize who you're fighting, you're going to lose every war. You're going to lose every battle. And right now, while you're sleeping, while you're awake reading the paper, the ACLU is in court hammering away at the Constitution. Yeah. If they were a battleship, they'd be a frigate. Yeah, and they're frigging us. The ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center. Yes, they do good things for oppressed peoples. And everybody that's not white is oppressed in the United States. And the worst ones who are fostering this communist BS are white people. It is not blacks, it's white people. It's the Bolsheviks, the American Bolsheviks. Bolshevik is a Russian word for cagada de toro, BS. Yeah, we're in trouble. Hollywood makes movies, always the white man is bad, and the black man is good, and the Latino is good. And they wouldn't be selling all those drugs and robbing all these places if it wasn't for the white man who trained them to do it. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I caught a guy on the radio he was talking about. Let me go back to, and I'll go into that later. I'll go back to the Tea Party. The symbol of the Tea Party is the Gadsden flag. The Gadsden flag goes all the way back to the French and Indian War. The Gadsden flag goes all the way back to the writings of Ben Franklin and Paul Revere. So, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to arrest our grandmothers and grandfathers? Are we going to arrest all the veterans who fought for us so that we could sleep with visions of sugar plums dancing on our heads? Are we going to denounce the country that gave us life? Or are we going to stand up to the people who are trying to take our lives in the womb, in the old age homes, in battle, in the streets? Who turns loose 100,000 criminals for votes? What party does that? The party that has no God, the party that has no country, the party that votes to burn the flag, the party that kills kids, the party that wants to make dope legal throughout the land and make 30% tax money on it. The party that wants you in a national stupor so you won't realize that you've lost your country. They're sedating you because they're conquering you and you don't know it. And you can't believe it because there's no sign of it in the movies. There's no sign of it on Dancing with the Stars. There's no sign of it at Wrigley Field. But every other field is a battlefield and we're losing every single battle. And the only people that are standing up for this country is the Tea Party. T stands for taxed enough already. And the only way you're going to stop this red menace, which is bred in the Red House, used to be the White House, the only way you're going to stop it is you got to withdraw funds. You got to put the government on cold turkey. And that's the way you stop it. And don't send them any money. Then they can't do evil deeds. And besides, then they'll have to dip into their war chest and their bribe money to keep going. We're in a sad state of affairs, and the only remedy is $1 per any company or individual as a champagne contribution. No more lobbies. The only lobby should be in a hotel. One term per termite. You cannot let somebody sink their teeth into you forever. They have to give them 4 years to draw blood, and then they got to get out. And I don't care if he's the best man for the job or the worst man for the job. In 4 years, he's gone. And that includes judges, including Supreme Court judges. 5-4 is your country is hanging by a thread in the freedom lane, and you have no idea what's going on, and you don't care. But every day you're going to pay a little bit more. You'll pay it in taxes, and eventually you'll pay it in blood. When they got you worried about global warming, and they don't show you a picture of a nuke, they don't know what global warming is. Global warming is 30,000 degrees delivered from Iran, North Korea, Russia, China, and this president is disarming us so that we can die easy. And remember the words of George Washington. Truer words were never spoken. In times of peace, prepare for war. And when somebody calls you a warmonger, call them a communist murderer. Because the ones who talk about peace are the ones that send you to die in concentration camps. So, let's take a break.
Estrelas há no céu, mas não pra mim. Lindas canções de amor, mas não pra mim. A chuva cai aqui e o sol já vai pra ali. E eu não sei mais sentir meu coração. Eu sempre acreditei num grande amor que fosse uma flor. Agora não sei mais o que fazer de mim. Será foi tudo em vão.
Brazilian sound? Let me see if this is another Brazilian sound. And then we'll go to some blogs.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you, neath the moon or under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling, where you are. I think of you day and night, night and day. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you day and night, night and day. the height of me. There's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you, day and night, night and day. Only you, neath the moon or under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, baby, where you are, I think of you day and night, night and day. Why? That this longing for you follows wherever I go. In the roaring traffic's boom, silence of my lonely room, I think of you day and night, night and day. There's an oh such a hungry burning inside of me, and its torment won't be true till you let me spend life making love to you day and night.
Cut short. All right, let's go for the blogs. We'll go for the blogs. I see that Michelle Obama stirred up the race pot the other day, or yesterday, and it looks like the entire Democrat Party was out there stirring up other people, talking about white privilege and racism. Yes. And that slavery, talking about slavery. And I just read you that less than 10% of the South owned, Southerners who fought in the Civil War owned slaves. They fought for their brothers and their cousins and their uncles. They were family people, as was the North. Yep. Did you see the picture of the baby elephant that got rescued by the other elephants, making crossing a fast-moving stream. It's very interesting. Very interesting to see how they did it. Those elephants are brave people. So let's see what we got here.
Looks like I got to go out and hunt for my emails. Let's see what else we got. What do you think Putin's up to? You think he's a bad guy? You think he thinks he is Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin? Who do you think he's more like? Is he tweaking our president's nose? Is it true that he called President Obama a monkey with a hand grenade when the Syrian crisis came up? Is he that type of guy that would do something like that? You don't think there's any prejudice of Russians, do you? Look at all the blacks in Russia. You know? I mean, they take them in all the time. How many are there? Four? Yeah, and they're all going to the Patrice Lumumba Communist College so they can go back to the Africa and drive their people back into slavery. Susie Q, 4-1, 4-2, I shouldn't be saying this out loud. I could go to jail. You're killing me. What am I going to do, doctor? Oh, were we talking about jokes last night? We were telling jokes. Did you ever hear the one about the Battle of Britain, and they were giving out awards to the pilots who had fought so bravely over the British Isles and defeated the Germans? And the guy that was giving out the awards had a speech impediment. And killing me softly with my song. I'm not getting through. They're not accepting my password. What am I going to do, doctor? What am I going to do? It says I'm no longer logged in. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing here anymore. And it says, please log in again. I click OK and nothing happens. Oh, here we are. Here we are. Okay, so this guy, now up comes a pop-up about a retirement plan.
You've got mail.
Hey, I'm there. I got 22 messages. Okay, so this guy is giving out awards and he has a speech impediment. So guys are lined, pilots are lined up for their awards, and the first guy goes to the first guy and he says, shooting down for Fokker Wolf's the Victoria Cross. And he pins the cross, pins the medal on the guy. He goes to the next guy and he goes, shooting down for Fokker Wolf's the Victoria Cross. And he pins it on the next guy, and he goes to the third guy. Down Fokker Wolf's the Victoria Cross. The guy says, but sir, I shot down five Fokker Wolf's. Fokker Wolf's. Five Fokker Wolf's. Same. Same effing metal. Okay, let's see what's going on. Yeah. Okay, problem. We now trail by 11%. They got a problem in, I think it's Arkansas. Let me see if this is about Arkansas. They had a tough time down in Arkansas. Arkansas elected the Clintons, so you know that it's very hard. It's very hard to live free in Arkansas. Yeah. This guy, Mark Pryor, is the Democrat favorite, and he's up against a guy named Tom Cotton. And Tom Cotton is trailing by 11 points because the Democrats are, this is for a Senate seat, the Democrats are pouring in all kinds of money. And Tom doesn't have that much. So if you can do anything to help a fellow teabagger, Tom Cotton is the guy you want to try and send some cash to. The Democrats are very evil when it comes to deeds. They will destroy him. Look what they did to Sarah Palin. Yet Sarah Palin is looking smarter than all of them today.
She said she could see Obama lying from her window, her kitchen window. Okay, let's see. We're loading a message here. I know this is a very sensitive keyboard. We'll get rid of that message because it means nothing. It says, if you want to learn how to lie, join the Democrat Party. We already know that. Let's see what we got here. Oh, I know what I'm going to have to do. Let me see if I can do this. I'll send myself an email, and we'll see if I pasted the next story. I got a hand. The hand is on the screen, and the hand is doing nothing. Oh, man. I'm going to have to tell you another joke. Did you like that? Five Farquhars? Same. You have not sent this message. Keep writing. Okay. I hate this. I'm beginning to hate my computer. It is like a slow motion computer. I'm going to discard you, buddy. And it's not even taking my discard. Okay, I'm going to give you another joke. Because this computer is a joke. It's the Battle of Britain. And a Polish air ace is giving a lecture on aerial combat. And he's describing the Battle of Britain and how he shot down so many German aircraft. And so he gets introduced by a Brit. And the Brit says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to introduce to you Colonel Stasiu Pandowski. And he is an ace, a fighter ace, and has been instrumental in shooting down many German aircraft at the Battle of Britain. So General Pandowski, go take the floor. So the general gets up there and he goes, yeah, there I was. I was flying at 15,000 feet. And diving out of the sun, coming to me, were 13 Fokkers. And the British guy gets a little nervous because there's a lot of tea social ladies there. And she goes, ladies, for your own information, a Fokker is a German aircraft. He goes, yeah, this is true. But these Fokkers were flying Messerschmitts. Okay, if you don't know what a Messerschmitt is, you won't get the joke. It's a guy named Willy Messerschmitt, and he invented the Messerschmitt of German fighter aircraft. But let us go now to another episode of Michelle is No Liberty Bell, after pulling her stunt in that girls' high school in Kansas and showing her true colors. Michelle is no Liberty Bell. The woman is proof positive, once a communist, always a communist. You can go back to the communist infiltration of black organizations in New York City in 1924. They were invading the Garage Workers Union in 1924 in New York City. They've been here a long time, and they never stopped working to bring this country down. Now they have inside help from their own party, the Democrat Party. In 1962, the 45 goals of the Communist Party were read into the congressional record. They have reached every goal. You wouldn't believe it. But if you Google 45 goals of the Communist Party, you will see that they have reached every one of the goals they set out to get, including with help from Jimmy Carter. They have achieved every goal, including taking over one of the two political parties. That was one of the goals. And if you have to guess which one, then you are re-education camp material. And drugs is chemical warfare, and the drug routes into the USA from South America were built by Russian communists competing against Chinese communists. And neither country knew the other one was running a program. I think the Russians did, but the Chinese didn't. Chinese thought they were the only ones building drug routes into America. And in 1928, Mao Zedong developed his attack on the U.S. mainland. The big target was doping the youth. And look where we are today. There isn't a city in this country that's drug-free. Not one. There's not one that could put up a sign, "Welcome to drug-free Podunk." So, look where we are today. 20% of health care money goes to abortions and drug rehab. Based on the current moves by the Party of Death, the Communist Party, they are repositioning themselves for a new phase to take down and destroy the country, rebuilding it to suit their goals, which are not American goals. The president may not even be an illegal alien based on a stolen Social Security card number that he is using. The number belongs to a guy born in 1890 in Connecticut. Savage today on his radio show compared the USA to Pol Pot's Cambodia. The universities are all Shiite holes of communism, and the minority pushes around and muzzles the majority. Yes, they're trying to stop me from typing in caps. They tell me caps is shouting. These are the same people that say, you cannot pray out loud. You can only have a moment of silence and a moment of subjugation. Yep, that's the minority that muzzles the majority and then charges the timid with bullying. Freedom is dangling by a Supreme Court vote of 5-4. This past weekend, the Party of Death played the race card of revolution to stir up the ignorant and skip over all their communist scandals, from killing vets to supporting Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and the Soviet Supreme, from cowardice in Benghazi to blood clot lies of cover-up, from IRS purges of Christians to Mexican jihad on the border, killing helpless Mexicans with Eric Holder guns. Instead of Obama phone, we should do Rosetta Stone. Then we could press 1 to call home. In 3 weeks, the whole country could be speaking English. In one day, 60,000 Americans could have jobs pumping low-priced gasoline. In one day, we could close the border and put 60,000 troops from Fort Hood to collect data on future immigrants, or close the EPA and send the closees to the Rio Grande to do immigration applications and give out bottled water instead of stealing cattle for Harry Reid, Dirty Harry. There is a lot that we can do united against communism. We can save the minds of the little ones who are scheduled to be brainwashed under Obama bin Laden and his private army. Other than that, hold on to your little guns. You're going to need them to get bigger guns. Hold on to your Constitution and your Declaration of Independence that was tailor-made for you and me in the year of our Lord, 1776. Freedom is a heavy cross to bear, and I believe in resurrection. And yes, Caps is shouting. Spirit of America Party book. It's on Amazon. Take me to the beach. Okay, I've said that. Got that off my chest. And now, let me see if I can find a tune. Here we go. Do you know that when Democrats get up and lie, there should be a law that every time they start to lie, a Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald song they have to sing. It takes over their voice. Goes something like this. Senator Schumer, is it true that you don't like little Cuban kids named Elian?
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee.
Secretary of State John Kerry, is it true that you turned against, you pulled a Jane Fonda on all the guys that served in Nam?
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee. Oh,
Carlos the Jekyll Levin from Michigan. Is it true you voted to burn the flag and you voted to kill kids?
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee.
Senator Mitch McConnell, is it true you voted to burn the flag?
Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee.
Is that enough? You want more? You could ask some more questions. What are we going to do, my fellow Americans? You going to hand over your country? You know, I'm so tired of hearing people say, I'm glad I lived when I did, and then other people say, I'm glad I'm not going to be around to see what's going to happen here. That's terrible, man. That is absolutely terrible. You know what? That's like being on the old bog road.
My feet are here on Broadway, this blessed harvest morn. But oh, the ache that's in them for the sod where I was born. My weary hands are blistered from toiling cold and heat. But oh, to swing a scythe today through fields of Irish wheat. Had I the chance to wander back or own a king's abode? And oh, to see the hawthorn tree down the old bog road. My mother died last springtime when Ireland's fields were green. The neighbors said her wake it was the finest ever seen. There were snowdrops and primroses piled up beside her bed. And Farron's church was crowded when the funeral mass was said. But here was I on Broadway, building bricks for load, as they carried out her coffin down the old bog road. Now life's a weary puzzle, past finding out by man. I'll take the day for what it's worth and do the best I can. Since no one cares a rush for me, what need to make a moan? I'll go my way and draw my pay and smoke my pipe alone. Each human heart must know its grief, though bitter be the load. So God be with you, Ireland, and the old bog road. So God be with you, and the old bog road.
Okay. I was looking for another tune. I'll give you this one. And this is, being that it's a Memorial Day weekend coming up, for all the boys in the Civil War. Thank you. Did you hear the scratches in that record? That's a vinyl record. It was made in 1944 by the original cast of D-Day. There's 47 scratches in that record. Each scratch represents 8,000 Americans who died in World War II. But not as many that died in the Civil War. Here's the tune the South liked.
Of the coming of the Lord, He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed His fateful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for Him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read His righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His name is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. that he died to make men whole. Let us live to make men free while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. While God is marching. My mother, she will bless you through all the years to come. Oh, tell my sweet sister, so gentle, good and true, that I'll meet her up in heaven in my faded coat of blue. No. Noble spirit, in thy grave unknown, I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given for a faded coat of blue. My heart with startling beat
door.
I gaze over the hill where he waves a last adieu, but no gallant lad I see in his faded coat of blue. No more the bugle calls the weary one. Rest, noble spirit, in thy grave unknown. I'll find you and know you among the good and true. When a robe of white is given,
wow, was that something? Huh? Did that bring you back? Did that bring you back into the faith of your fathers? And those who divide us will destroy us, and they will kill us all. Wake up, America. It's time to unite and throw off the yokes of communism.